Carson has said that the church is only ever one generation away from losing the gospel. And that's true. And we've seen that throughout church history. We're only one generation away from losing the gospel. That's why we put such a huge emphasis on children's ministry here at Cool Community, on children's ministry and youth ministry, because we want to pass this faith along to our children. And one of the greatest privileges that any church has is raising up the next generation to continue pressing forward into the gospel. That's also why we train up leaders. And over the last 6 months, I have had the privilege of spending a good deal of time with this young man, Zach. Zach's been our intern here at the church for about the last 6 months. And I want to just publicly acknowledge, and I want to tell you, Zach, that over the last 6 months, I have seen a no kidding around miracle in your life. It has been remarkable. I mean, remarkable to see what God has done in taking Zach from where he was to where he is today. And this is what the church does. This is what we do. We raise up leaders. We continue pressing into the gospel. We continue preaching the gospel to the following generations. And so I am excited to see what's going to happen in the future with Zach. And I'm really excited for him to come to us this morning and to preach his last sermon as our intern. The sermons after this will just be as a regular guy, but this is his last sermon as our intern. So come bring the word to us, Zach.
Thank you, Drew, for those kind words. Good morning, this church family. On this very special day, Mother's Day, I'd like to start by telling you a story of a very godly woman. This woman was named Annette Granberry. She was born in 1924 in a small town in Mississippi called Hattiesburg. She was the second youngest of a family of 12 with 6 brothers and 3 sisters. Her aunt was a missionary in China. It was this aunt that inspired her to go to Bible college when she graduated high school. In 1943, she began attending Nyack Bible Institute. It was this year that she also met a man by the name of Keith Gilmore, and love was in the air. A few years later, in 1946, she married this man and also graduated with a degree in missions. She was a quiet woman, but she had a heart for music ministry and a heart for her family. Then her husband began to pastor many small churches where she had a vibrant ministry as a pastor's wife. She played piano for literally thousands of Sunday morning services. She was also the loving mother of 5 girls. She saw to the needs of all of them, both physically and spiritually. As the years went on, her children grew up, and her husband began to be a preacher or a teacher at Bible college. She knew that she needed a new ministry, and she began to do sing-alongs at retirement homes with all the classic hymns that she loved. She also had a young grandson at this point. She took him everywhere with her. She took him to all of her sing-alongs and various church events. She saw great value in having her grandson be a part of these ministries, even though he was just a young boy. She was a woman of sincere faith. She passed the sincere faith down to her grandson. Some of his first and most cherished memories were of his grandmother, when she would praise God with her piano and voice. Now, how do I know that those were his most cherished memories? It's because those were my memories. Nettie Gilmore was my grandmother. She passed down her sincere faith to me, just as Lois did to Timothy, as we'll see in this passage this morning. So now please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy 1:1-14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. And I am reminded of your sincere faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure it dwells within you as well. For this reason, I am reminded to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands, of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering of the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and manifested through the appearing of our Savior, and brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day that has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposits entrusted into you. Second Timothy is a dynamic letter. It is also an authentic and genuine letter. To give you a little bit of historical background, Paul has recently been imprisoned in Rome by the Emperor Nero. During Nero's reign as emperor, he took great delight in the persecution and killing of Christians. Nero would be responsible for the deaths of both Paul and Peter. This letter was written shortly before Paul's death. So we often hear people saying that they never got a chance to tell a loved one how they felt about them before they died. Paul wants to make sure that he tells Timothy everything that was on his heart while he still has the chance. And more than anything, this letter of 2 Timothy is a changing of the guard. Paul passes the torch of ministry to Timothy. Paul has fulfilled his duties and responsibilities, and now those responsibilities are passed on to the next person, Timothy. And so on, until the work of the gospel was completed. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says, I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now it is Timothy's turn to carry the torch and finish his leg of the race. A faith passed on. Paul, the apostle of Christ, by Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells within you. We all have a heritage. We can trace our families back to where they originated, knowing the careers they worked and the lives they lived. Our ancestors' lives continue to shape our lives even today. Our last names bear our ancestors' mark. And our family heritage gives us a complete picture of our identity, who we are, and where we came from. Likewise, as Christians, we have a spiritual heritage. Our heritage consists of all the people that introduced us to Christ and have helped us mature in faith. For some, our spiritual heritage may be linked to a specific church or minister. It may be linked to a teacher or a friend, or in Timothy's case, his spiritual heritage comes directly from his mother and grandmother. Today is a day set apart for the recognition of our mothers. As I shared a few minutes ago, my sincere faith started with my grandmother. But that is not the only place that is passed down from. I am proud to say that I also have a mother with sincere faith, Joyce Stocks. She is an educator by trade. Unfortunately, she was also a single mother after her husband left her. Early on in her career, she saw the value in Christian education. She not only wanted to help children learn academics, but she wanted to lay down a biblical foundation for them. The problem with being a single mom and a Christian educator is that it does not pay nearly as well as working in public education. But that was not going to stop her from putting me in a Christian school and teaching there as well. She took on a paper route before school, catered weddings on the weekends, and cut hair at night, all to be able to teach the Bible to children and keep me in Christian school. Eventually, she was able to complete her master's degree in education and moved on to Christian school administration. This allowed her to only have one job. It was hard at times, but she had a sincere faith that would not let her give up. Somehow through it all, she still managed to never miss any of my sporting events. She is a strong, godly woman, and I'm proud to have her as my mom. Fan the flame. So now that Paul reminded Timothy where his faith has come from, his mother and his grandmother, what does he tell him to do? We find this in verse 6. He says, "For this reason I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Paul uses a strong word picture here. He says to fan into flame. I'm sure that most of us have a wood stove or a fireplace around these parts. What happens when you use the bellows to fan the fire? It turns a small ember into a raging fire, an intense inferno. Think of your fireplace just after you've stoked it when you read this passage. Paul did not want Timothy to continue simply to preach the gospel. He wants Timothy to fan into flame his gift of God. At this point, Timothy is a young minister with a gift for ministry. But God's gifts must be used or fanned if they are to reach and maintain their full potential. Remember that Paul here is passing on his responsibility in the early church to Timothy. He wants to make sure that Timothy will come with the same passion as Paul had. Now let's take a look at verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Facing death himself, Paul takes time to remind Timothy that he has not been given a spirit of fear, but God has instead given him a spirit of power. Through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, he can valiantly endure patiently, suffer triumphantly, and if need be, die gloriously. God has also given him a spirit of love. It is this love that God, for God, that casts out the fear that makes him able to give himself to Christ, whatever the cost may be. And finally, God has given Timothy a spirit of self-control or discipline. No matter how adverse the circumstances, he can maintain balanced judgment and act soberly. So what can we take from this? Well, we too have been given gifts of ministry. We all have spiritual gifts, whether we know it or not. We have been given the same spirit as Timothy as well, the Holy Spirit. We as believers have been given a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. All we have to do is fan the flame. I encourage you to fan your flame by finding a place in this church to serve. It might be handing out bulletins before church in the morning. It might be helping out in nursery, or it might simply be a help maintaining the lawns outside. But I just really encourage you to find your place to serve. You might be surprised how God might use you. Have no shame. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but God, in sharing suffering for the gospel, and by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he has given us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me, in faith and in love that are in Christ Jesus, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Now, in these last seven verses, there is a lot of information in theology. There's a lot we could cover, but for the purposes of this sermon, and because Pastor Drew wants me to have a nice 3-point outline.
Amen.
We are going to focus on Paul's words in verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed. But before we get into this point, I just want to share a quick Bible study tool that we can all use as we read our Bibles. Whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, ask yourself this simple question: what is it there for? This is a transitional word that tells us something is important, something important is about to happen. So let's see how this tool works in this passage. First, we found out that Timothy had a sincere faith that was passed down from his mother and grandmother. And then we found out that he has a great gift of ministry that he should fan into flame. And now we see the word therefore. Verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoners, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Paul is telling Timothy not to be ashamed about the testimony of the Lord. But try to put yourself in Timothy's shoes here for a minute. Timothy did not live in America where there's no real prosecution. Timothy lived in the time of Nero. He was an emperor of Rome, a man that literally lit his gardens at night by burning Christians. It took a lot of courage to not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And not only was Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, but he was to share in the sufferings for the gospel by the power of God. This is the same power that we saw in verse 7. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, verses 9 through 12 boil down to this simple fact. Christ Jesus called Timothy to ministry, into the ministry of sharing the gospel. And he did this because Jesus gave us victory over death by dying on the cross and victoriously raising from the dead. I think we all understand why Paul wrote these words. There are times when all of us are tempted to be ashamed of our faith. You may keep quiet at work because you're of fear of that someone might find out. Or you may not speak out in high school because of what others might say about you. You might even play down your faith at a family reunion not to offend someone. The sad part about it is if we are ashamed of the good news that comes from God, it's like saying, I've got a cure for cancer, but I'm ashamed to mention it because you probably won't believe me. If a person had a cure for cancer and did not share it, it would be criminal. But we as Christians have the cure for spiritual cancer. How can we keep that to ourselves? Therefore, do not be timid or ashamed when it comes to the gospel, but be bold to share the gospel in the same way that Paul told Timothy. In conclusion, I would like to share the faith of one more mother in my life, and that's my wife. This book was given to me at birth by my grandma, Nettie, and it is the Bible in pictures for little eyes. And I think we all know how important it is to read to our young ones, but especially to read them the Bible. And my wife, she reads them. She will not let the kids go to bed without reading at least three stories from here. And it's just really cool to first see my grandma and then see my mom and now see my wife continue to share her sincere faith with the next generation. Now I want to close with the charge that Paul gave Timothy in verses 13 and 14. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposits entrusted to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us these words from Paul. Thank you for showing us the importance our mothers have in our lives. Now as we go out from here today, help us to fan the flames of our spiritual life. Help us to not be ashamed of the gospel, but rather be passionate to share your good news to the people in our lives that do not know you. In Jesus' name, amen.